with one another, the love that we enjoy and the tie that binds us together in Christ. Appreciate the songs that were led, the reading that was made, the prayer that was prayed. And we're thankful to be together tonight to honor our God. If you're visiting with us, we are really privileged that you are here to honor God with us. Well, as you see on the screen, tonight I'm tackling the untackleable, you know. Guidelines from God's book for Facebook and social media. And if you look at the screen, I've made a graphic where it appears that there are passages of Scripture that guide us directly in our usage of Facebook and social media. And you might say, well, the Bible doesn't say a thing about Facebook. It says all kinds of things about how we're supposed to use Facebook and social media, and we'll be looking at some of those tonight. I want to say to you, I realize that not everybody in this room is on Facebook. Most of us are aware of what it is. There may be some who don't know what it is, but it's obviously a platform on the internet where people can share all sorts of things about their lives, about what's going on in the world, comment on those things, give opinions about things, share all sorts of things, whether it's experiences, humor, triumphs, tragedies, really anything about what's going on in your life with your friends, your hopes, your fears, even your faith can be shared on Facebook. But for those who are not plugged in digitally to the internet world or whatever and have no interest in Facebook, please don't tune out of the lesson quite yet. Because I think that most everything that we're going to say about Facebook and social media tonight could be applied to almost any social setting. And that's the thing. Social media is designed to be social. And because of that, and because the Scriptures give us all kinds of direction about how to relate to one another as human beings, first of all as Christians, and then how Christians are supposed to relate to the world, because of that, the Bible has all sorts of directions for us about how to use social media and how not to misuse it. So instead of Facebook there, maybe in your world, you'd rather put breakfast at Bojangles, because maybe that's your social world right there. And I know some of you who maybe not on Facebook are on breakfast at Bojangles, right? So you get that. There's some area of your life where you're being social. Maybe at work, maybe with your family, maybe at school, whatever. And the principles that apply to what we're doing on Facebook or some other social media platform certainly apply to those things as well. As with most social interactions, when we are relating to other people, we open ourselves up to being influenced and to influencing. We open ourselves up to being criticized, to being deceived, to being sold something, to being tempted, to name just a few things. So a lot is going on in our lives spiritually anytime we interact with somebody socially. And we have got to see that. If we get that principle in our head, it doesn't matter if we're on Facebook or we're talking to somebody on the street or in school or at breakfast at Bojangles or wherever it might be, these same principles we will see will apply to those interactions. And just like every other social interaction that we have, the Lord is perfectly aware of everything that we do and say. And he may or may not be pleased with it. And it should be our great concern that he be pleased with what we say and do. Brother Brent brought up a passage this morning from the book of Colossians before, talking about being worthy and walking worthy, behaving in a worthy way in all that we do. In Proverbs 15 and verse 3, the wise man said that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. So the Lord sees it. We need to be aware of that. So as we think about being on social media or just being social, here are some absolutes for Christians that just would apply to a wide range of situations and interactions. What about our thoughts? Well, our thoughts are to be clean, right? We need to have clean thinking. If we can't be on social media, or if we can't have, you know, breakfast with our buddies without being clean, or if we can't interact in some sports game or whatever it might be, if we can't do that without having clean thoughts, then we either need to straighten ourselves up or quit doing that thing. And it doesn't matter what it is. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18, "Brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report." Notice that, whatever things are of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Meditate, one translation says, on these things. That's what should be going on in our heads. And if we can't have a social interaction in which those thoughts are the thoughts that we're having, then we need to either change our thoughts or change the interaction one. Ephesians 4 and verse 23 tells us that we as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We don't think about things like the world does. And the thing is that when you have interactions on social media, often you are tempted to start to think about things like the world thinks about things, because a lot of that is presented to you. Your friends may post something, you may see something in a news feed where this is how the world is reacting to something that's going on. And so you're mind is bent toward things that are not noble, pure, lovely, true, of good report. And we need to be very much aware of that. Absolutes for Christians. Our thoughts have to be clean. Our words, they must be proper and fitting for Christians. Read with me in Ephesians chapter 4, and notice in verse 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, or off of your keyboard, or from your phone." Right? "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Listen, we need to be building people up, imparting grace to them in what we say, in what we write, in what we post. "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness," listen to this, "let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Malice is hatred or ill intent. It should never be expressed, and certainly not on a social media that's public for everybody in the world to see. Christians, we've got to be better than that. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And then skip down. It's on the same page in my Bible, just four verses down, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. "Neither filthiness or foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." Those things aren't proper for Christians to talk about in any context, and certainly not in one so public as some of our social media sites are. Our words need to be proper, and by that we mean proper for Christians. Fitting is the word that Paul uses there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. Not a dirty joke, you're not going to do that. Nothing coarse, nothing crass, nothing corrupt, nothing hateful. Those things just shouldn't be said, period. Let alone posted somewhere for everybody to see. Our eyes have to be guarded. We need to be concerned about what we're looking at. The lamp of the body, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. "If therefore your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." If you look at bad things, you'll be dark on the inside. It gets into your mind and into your heart. "If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" You say, well, they're not, you know, on Facebook, they're not a lot of bad things to look at. Well, there are, if you want to dwell on them and find them. And what I've found, I'm just going to say this now, I may get back to it a little bit later when we talk about some more practical applications. But I was trying to help a young man a number of years ago, it's a few years ago now. He was having just a real challenge, as a lot of young people do, a lot of people do, period, and we've talked about this publicly not long ago. But he was having a real problem with dealing with pornography and trying to overcome that temptation. And you're not going to see pornography on Facebook, by the way. I don't think. I haven't seen it there. But what you are going to see is when you click on a story or something when that takes you to another place, and then maybe at the bottom of that there's something else to click on, and before you know it, you're two clicks away from where you started, and you're sure enough on a place you shouldn't be looking at stuff you shouldn't be looking at. And that's what this young man was having such difficulty with. You know what he did, ultimately? He deleted his Facebook account. He just got off of it. Well, he understood this principle. He was getting dark inside by some things he was seeing, and he didn't want that. In Job 31 and verse 1, Job said, "I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman?" Psalm 101 and verse 3, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." That needs to be our determination as well. What about our activities? Well, whatever we do, wherever we do it, again, social media, at the restaurant, with friends, Christians are supposed to be holy. 1 Peter 1 and verse 15, "As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." So that includes, all your conduct is all your conduct. It's everything you do everywhere you are, including when you're on a social media site. Needs to be holy. You can't and don't act like everybody else in the world. The word holy, separate and pure. Separated for a purpose and purified for that purpose. Christians are to be holy all the time. And if it's not separated and different from the world, and if it's not purified by the mind and blood of Jesus Christ, we're not living up to our name. What about our friends? Well, they're to be godly, or at least not ungodly. And I know that, you know, your Facebook friends aren't really your friends, okay? So, you know, some of us have 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 Facebook friends, and in real life we only have 3 friends, okay? Right. So I understand how that works. But still, people we interact with can influence us. And we influence them. And the scriptures plainly tell us about both the benefits but also the dangers of those relationships. In Proverbs 12 and verse 26, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." And I would say to you that you need to choose your Facebook friends carefully. If you've got some acquaintance that you know is worldly and is thinking and is influenced and all that sort of thing, in real life, he's sure going to be that way on Facebook as well. Don't choose that guy. Don't click OK on that. I have, and this is, first of all, it tells you what a bad decision maker I am. And secondly, how much trouble I have making decisions. And secondly, it just tells you something about me. I don't know. I don't know how many. I've looked at the list the other day, but I think it's something like 300 friend requests on Facebook that I have not replied to. And it's just because of this principle. I don't know if I should be friends with this person or not. I don't really know who they are. And maybe some of them, I know enough about them to know, well, I don't really know if I want to interact with them a lot, if it's going to be good for me spiritually or for anybody. So you have to choose your friends wisely, no matter who you are. Do not be deceived. Evil companions corrupt good habits. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. The thing about social media is it presents great opportunities for Christians. It is a powerful, powerful tool, and it can be a powerful tool for good in a lot of different ways. Evangelism. As I think about people who have learned truths on Facebook, been taught truths on Facebook, often just something somebody will post, maybe an article, maybe just a verse of scripture, maybe just about something that's happened in their lives that encourages somebody to study the Bible more or want to. Eastside has a presence on Facebook as an entity, and there are a lot of good things on there. this service may be going out on Facebook right now. I'm not sure. Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But the point is, you know, a lot of great things are going on. And I shared this with some folks not too long ago. And I'm not going to talk about specifically who was involved, or the person wouldn't mind it. They wanted it to be known. But they had been watching some of the sermons that have been preached here at Eastside over the last while on Facebook, or on the internet at least. I don't know if it was YouTube or Facebook. But they had fallen away from the Lord and been falling away for some good long time. And called and left me a message on the phone here at the building, and just wanted the group to know that through studying along in those sermons, the encouragement from those sermons, from God's word, they decided to make their life right with the Lord. And they've done that. And gone back to being a faithful member of a congregation. Wow. That was accomplished through a tool. Not Facebook didn't do that. You know, the Eastside congregation enabled that to happen through God's grace and help. But the point is, here's a tool that, and in your personal posts, the things that you put out on social media, the things that you say to others. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So on Facebook, you're going to encounter people that are not Christians or who are fallen away Christians. You might say something that'll make a difference. Walk in wisdom. Think about what you're saying. Think about how it's going to affect somebody. Think about what you might do to bring that person back to a closer relationship with God if that's what they need. Let your speech always be with grace and seasoned with salt. You can evangelize through using that tool. I think most of you are on Facebook are aware, and let me just go back to that. There are a number of posts that come out from the Eastside Facebook page every week. A lot of them are links to articles or just words of encouragement, Bible verses and things like that. There are links, as we've said, to the videos of the lessons and things like that. And if you're on social media, maybe you're not writing those articles or putting out. We have some folks here that are involved in that, but maybe you're not the one who's putting that out. But you can like it and you can share it and you can comment some good things about it. And just by doing that, it gets wider viewing as a result of that. And the more that you're involved in that, the more others will become involved in that. It's just a good thing to do. So you can be involved, secondarily at least, in that evangelistic effort just by doing that kind of thing. Encouragement, same way. What does the Bible teach us about encouraging one another? Exhort one another daily, Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says. Romans 12 and verse 15, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. I don't know how many times something has happened, maybe in our family, and you know, we put out a word about that. Maybe I got a good report on a cancer checkup, and everybody's so encouraging. And then maybe something bad happens in our family. There's a death or somebody's sick or something like that. And there's a lot of, you know, encouragement on Facebook. People rejoicing with those that rejoice and weeping with those that weep. And it goes on. I know many of you have experienced those kinds of things as well on that platform or other social media. And again, it's not any different. Say, well, I'm not on Facebook and I'm not on social media, but do you still get mail at your house? Well, you send somebody a card or you receive a card. Same idea of encouragement, those sorts of things. Give somebody a phone call, same idea. It's what we're supposed to be doing all of the time, in engaging in these social opportunities. We can educate others about truth and correct them in gentleness if they need correcting. Now, I'll just say this. I don't think that Facebook is a platform, or any social media really, is a great platform for carrying on deep theological discussions. First of all, it just doesn't happen. It soon devolves into some kind of an argument or back and forth that is pretty profitless most of the time. But there are some good things that can still be done in the way of guiding people in truth and righteousness and pointing them in the right direction. Listen to what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. A servant of the Lord, he says, must not quarrel, You got that? Don't get on Facebook to have a quarrel. Don't get on social media to have a fight or continue it. It's counterproductive to the cause of truth. There are times when in your life, when you're face-to-face with somebody. By the way, I don't really encourage that sort of thing over a phone call either. It's a whole lot better to look somebody in the eye when you're speaking to them about things and have a true dialogue. That's the only way that usually happens, rather than, you know, spouting off where they can't respond right away and don't get the full meaning of what they're saying, don't get the inflection in their words, what they're intending. See, none of that comes across on Facebook or other digital means either, as far as that goes, most of the time. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, that they may know the truth. Some of that can be done in a careful and thoughtful way on social media. The main thing is, as a Christian, let's let the light shine. The light is us, the Word in us, the Word coming through us. Philippians 2 and verse 14, Paul says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Let me backtrack a little bit and say that kind of connects to the previous point, doesn't it? Do all things without complaining. And let me digress just a little bit further. Don't get on social media, friends, and talk about all that's wrong with the church or all what's wrong with the Lord's people or what you've got to do, you know, to serve God in a negative way. That's not the, you shouldn't do it at all. Don't be complaining and disputing. That's what Paul says. Do all things, everything God wants you to do, without complaining and disputing. Anytime, and certainly not on this social media platform, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of light, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You're the light. You are the light of the world. Let the light shine when you're interacting with folks. Well, there are dangers for Christians. I've already touched on a few of those, and quickly we'll notice some others. One of them is frequently brought up is just wasted time. Some people would say, well, the whole thing is a waste of time. I don't feel that way, and let me explain why. You know, people say, well, you're tied to your phone. And I do pay attention to my phone, usually a few times during the day, and look at what's going on Facebook, especially if I've posted something that I'm hoping will help people. The reason that I do that is not because I'm addicted to an electronic device. I would rather throw my phone away, frankly. But there are people on the other end of that, human beings who have eternal souls. They're important. It's not a waste of time to try to help them. And if you can use this as a tool to do that, that's not a waste of time. But you can waste a lot of time on Facebook with a bunch of stuff that's really just foolish, and you know, you'd be better off going out and digging in your garden or something probably than most of what's on there a lot of times. It's just inane, like what's on television, like what's entertainment all over the place. It doesn't really accomplish a lot of good. Some of it may not be all that bad, but you probably have better things to do. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, the apostle writes, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Make the most of your time. Make the most of your time. Unbridled speech. That's a problem. It's a problem for Christians in other social settings as well, and it becomes a problem oftentimes on social media. In James chapter 3, James warns us about the dangers of the tongue. When in verse 2 he says, we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set in our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. I tell you what, the world has seen in recent years that you can light a match on Facebook and take down a whole country. You just ask folks what happened in Egypt a few years ago. It's powerful. Your words are powerful. Unbridled speech can do an awful lot of harm. An awful lot. We need to be careful with what we say. Words are powerful. The gospel is given to us in words. That's the how powerful are words? The gospel is in words, okay? The power of God to save man. Be cautious with our words. Anytime in your life, you as a Christian are not free to just say anything that, you know, pops into your head. We're never free to do that. Our words have to be bridled, controlled, because they're so powerful. Then what happens sometimes on Facebook is a temptation for hypocritical judging. In Matthew 7 and verse 1, of course, Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged." I know that passage is misapplied a lot. But he goes on and explains what he means. He says, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? Do not consider the plank in your own eye." You see this little problem, and so you want to give somebody on Facebook down the road for that when you've got this huge, huge deal, your own problem that you haven't looked at. And then maybe somebody even points that out to you, and then that's when the fight starts. You know, so it leads from one thing to another. And when we see that sort of thing happening a good bit, how can you say to your brother, "Let me remove the speck from your eye," and look, a plank is in your own eye? That happens person to person. And it happens on social media. And then, what about this? I'll just call it photo foolishness. That can include a lot of things. Now, I'll just tell you, I enjoy humor as much as anybody. And there's stuff that's put on Facebook that is hilarious, okay? It's very funny. But there are things that are just really foolish. And foolish from a moral standpoint as well. But respecting what we do as Christians. Folks, let me just say this. The Lord knows everything that's going on in your house. But everybody else in the world doesn't necessarily need to, okay? So, you know, when the people came from Babylon to visit, you know, Hezekiah, and Isaiah goes to visit Hezekiah after they left, and he says to him, "What have they seen in your house?" Hezekiah says, "Well, I showed him everything." And Isaiah basically says, "Well, that was dumb." You know, I'm paraphrasing all that. But he says, eventually all of this stuff is going to be taken that you showed them by the Babylonians themselves. Because really, you know, they weren't there really to encourage Hezekiah. They were kind of spying out what they might come and get later on, which is what they eventually did. That was the point. So maybe not show everything that's going on in your house. And especially be guarded about things that are private. And I won't go any further than that right there, but just to say that there are things that just not everybody needs to know about. Things that people don't need to see. Maybe I should say that as well. Things that, and parts of people's bodies that people don't need to see. And things like that that may be free in a home, but are not free for the rest of the world. Guidance from God's book. So what we've done is I've looked at overall general principles that apply all the time to all of us. Then some negatives, some positives. I hope that you're taking all of that as it's intended. I don't intend to offend or in any way particularly point out anybody in all of this, because I think it all applies to all of us. But then just applications, if you haven't caught on yet, some quick applications. Be cautious with your words. Maybe don't say as much as you would like to say. Let as the psalmist says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We're going to be judged by every idle word which we speak, according to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. The statement of Jesus Christ, every idle word men may speak, they will give account of in the day of judgment. You remember that. In the multitude of words, sin is not wanting, the wise man says in Proverbs. Be aware of that. Respond and comment with grace. We read the verses already, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Respond with grace, not with anger, not with crassness, not needling somebody, not making fun of somebody or something, not trying to pick a fight, not trying to start an argument. You know what responding with grace is? Respond with grace. Let your speech be always with grace, Colossians 4 and verse 6 had said. Protect yourself from lust-producing visual content. Protect yourself from that if you have to delete the account. And it doesn't matter if it's Facebook or some other. There are quite a number of other social media kind of accounts and platforms. Protect yourself from content and pictures that produce lust. The Bible tells us to flee youthful lust. That is, run away from them. Both young and old need to be aware of that. We need to pursue things like faith and love and peace and righteousness with those who call on the name of the Lord. In Matthew 5 and verse 27, Jesus said, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That can begin, as we've already described, on social media. Be careful what you like or share. There are things that are put on social media, maybe by your friends, that are interesting. Some of them may just be events in their lives, but there might be a part of that event that they're describing, or maybe a picture that they are sharing that's not really what Christians ought to be focused on. You may be thinking about, well, just this one part that's funny, or this one part that's nice and all of that. I want to share that with everybody, but you got to realize that when you share part of a post, you're sharing the whole thing. And people are not going to be as discerning as you are. And that's true when it comes to, sharing articles, Bible doctrine, videos of sermons that maybe are preached somewhere, or songs that are sung somewhere else. And there might be a lot of good in that, but maybe if a preacher's preaching along and he's got a couple of really good points, but there's some false doctrine in there, and you can tell where that is and where it isn't, and so you've gotten something out of that, but maybe everybody else isn't going to be able to do that. So maybe that's not a really great thing to share, you know? We have to be thoughtful about all of that. Just be careful. I would encourage you to like things that you are very positive about, to share those things. Hopefully everything that we put out here at Eastside is along that line, and you'd be comfortable liking it and sharing it and commenting positively on it. And that will help all of that, as I said earlier, get out even further. Just like, you know, if you're having breakfast at Bojangles and you hear an encouraging story or something, some bit of truth from God's Word or something that happened in somebody's life that brought them to know the Lord and have a better relationship with Him, and you go telling that all around, right? That's what you need to do that. But on other hand, if it's some negative bit of gossip that's going around town, it should stop with you. You don't tell that anywhere else. Or if it's something that's going to hurt somebody or may lead somebody in the wrong direction, you don't share that anymore. Same principle when we're on social media. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22, Paul says, do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. The word share there is interesting to me. Don't share in other people's sins. And if somebody posts their sins, don't share it. Don't share in it. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, expose them. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Lastly, use social media to do good and glorify God, just as you use all of your relationships to do that. And in fact, everything in your life. We as Christians are to be an example to the believers and of the believers in conduct, in love, in spirit, and in faith, and in purity. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. And Paul says, the Holy Spirit says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, that whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, and that would include what we're talking about tonight, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And if you can't do it to the glory of God on Facebook, don't do it. Don't do it. And maybe that should be the guiding thought, not only when we're socializing, but in every aspect of our lives. Can I do this? Am I doing this to God's glory? What is this going to do to bring glory to God? And if it doesn't do that in some way or other, let's don't do it. Facebook and social media. Let me just wind up by saying this. They have not created new sins among Christians. Facebook didn't create any new sins, okay? The sins that we have on Facebook are the same sins we've had all along. What Facebook has done is it's exposed them for all the world to see. It's such a powerful tool. Facebook hasn't created new and different ways of glorifying God either. But it has expanded ways we've had all along. It's a powerful tool for doing good or evil. And like everything else in our lives, we choose how to use the gifts we've been given. We choose to glorify God or not. Everything that we have, the vast ability we have to know anything in an instant just by asking Google or Siri or whoever, to connect with anybody in the world. I think about generations gone by, people go to Africa to, you know, try to spread the gospel, and, you know, it was a boat ride for days and days and days and months, maybe, who knows, and you get over there and you don't communicate back home for 6 months at a time, and then it's by a letter that's been halfway around the world. And day and night, and it literally happens day and night, I'm talking regularly to brethren in Africa and other parts of the world about things. My point is, God has blessed us so richly. Let's use everything for His glory and for the upbuilding of His cause. What about your life? How are you using it? How are you using all that God has given you? Is it for His glory? Would you give your life to God to glorify Him? Can we help you tonight? Please come while we stand and while we sing.